thank you for joining us for this episode of Journey Now, produced by Journey Church in Brentwood, Tennessee. Join us online or in person on Sundays at 9:30 and 11 a.m. For more information on Journey Church and our gatherings, visit journeytn.com.
From Journey Church in Brentwood, Tennessee, this is the Journey Now podcast. I'm Grant, part of the Journey team, and I want to welcome you to today's edition. If you were with us last Sunday for our celebration weekend, you got to share in a magnificent, glorious mess. It's what we get for publicly announcing that we were celebrating anything in 2020. Our new teaching pastor, Mike Erie, caught a sudden cold and sore throat, so he ended up joining us by Zoom instead of in person for his first weekend on staff. And just like with everything in 2020, we adjusted, and he and Kevin did a great job. Recently, I got together with Mike and some of our other pastors to talk a little more about our current teaching on the politics of religion. As you might expect, our conversation got fascinating fast, and it went long. We want you to hear the whole conversation, so here's part one of our roundtable, and tomorrow we'll be back with the second half of the discussion. Let's join my conversation now with pastors Kevin Dixon, Susie Lynn, Sam Barnhart, and Mike Erie. Hey, Journey Church, welcome to this Wednesday roundtable edition of the Journey Now podcast. I'm Grant, and I'm here with some of Journey's pastors.
Hey, I'm Kevin.
I'm Sam.
And I'm Susie.
And we're also joined today by our new teaching pastor, Mike Erie.
It's spelled E-R-R-E, Grant, and we were immigrants.
There's only two letters.
Yep. And backwards and forwards, Grant. It's a palindrome.
Plus, which, you can do it backwards and forwards.
I understand yes. that the message you gave this last weekend also is a palindrome. So if anyone wants yes. to go to the transcription and start.
Yes, if you read it backwards, it's the lyrics from Night Ranger's Sister Christian
yes,
song.
Yes, bro, yes.
So just, I mean, that's how good it is. That's how good it is.
Tell us a little bit about what you spoke about, just to get us into this. Because, I mean, we're not waiting for anything at Journey. I mean, November 3rd or 4th is coming for the rest of America, but we're talking politics now.
Let's
so
do it.
For those who were not here over the weekend, just give us a brief recap, and then we'll just all go around the table and say who we're voting for.
Some of us already voted.
Perfect. Yeah. Kevin is first.
Kevin's
no,
not first.
I mean, what a great place to begin, which is just the examination of what it is to when Jesus preaches the reality of the kingdom of God, that he's not speaking about a private enterprise that happens in our hearts. He is actually speaking about a social reality. A politic, if you will, that is not partisan in nature. So we make a big distinction between political and partisan. And that the kingdom of God, fundamentally, its claims on us are more than just claims of religious devotion or Jesus died for my sins, but its claims upon us are actually claims of allegiance, social allegiance, spiritual allegiance, economic allegiance, sexual allegiance, like its whole, its as the Hebrews would say, heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so the claim, even just the claim Jesus is Lord, is a claim that's a political claim. And so on the one hand, the church doesn't want to ever be known for its partisanship. That is a pollution of the gospel, right? We Jesus held together both zealots and tax collectors. And as within 40 years, zealots were assassinating tax collectors. And so this was a pretty far and big difference on the political spectrum, held together by the person and reality of Jesus as he embodied his kingdom. And so the kingdom has always been a place for people who have differing views on how the kingdoms of the world should be run. So we cannot be partisan in that way. But the kingdom is political If by political we mean we are governed by a specific social order, and that social order is to present a counter narrative to the social order of the world. So where the world runs on reciprocity, I harm those who harm me, I do good to those who do good to me, the kingdom runs on forgiveness and scandalous generosity, right? We love even our enemies, and we give to those who cannot repay. We invite people to our feasts who are not of equal status and who could never invite us to their feasts. I mean, it's that sort of disruption that Jesus is bringing about. And unfortunately, it's been divided in the church so that we have kind of a gospel on the one hand that deals with our private individual sins, and a gospel on the other hand that deals with social ordering and realities. And the earliest church didn't see those as separate things. The earliest church saw that the implications of the kingdom and allegiance to Jesus were very far ranging and political. To announce Jesus was savior, that was a Caesar word, and he was the bringer of peace, that was a Caesar word, and that he was a king, that was a Caesar word, right? I mean, these were not just neutral. Jesus wasn't crucified because he was bringing a religious reform. He was crucified because he was preaching the kingship of God over a trans-ethnic, transnational entity that had social implications, and calls into question then all of the other social arrangements, even the partisan ones, that human beings find themselves in.
Wow, so, Mike. You got us going fast.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
That was a good summary of Sunday. What would you say if somebody said, so can you give me a little bit more, or can we talk a little bit more about the difference between politics and partisanship?
He wants more.
He always does. Always. Very, very demanding.
Or, I mean, I can ask Susie.
Ask Susie.
Susie, you got thoughts on the difference between politics and partisanship?
I have a lot of thoughts. Yes.
And I put you on the spot. I'm sorry.
No, it's good. I mean, I think it's interesting because I've heard you say that multiple times now in the last few months, Mike. And I think that what it causes me to realize, I know for myself, I have confused the two things.
Yeah.
As have I.
Many times and many different times in my life. And I continue to catch myself doing that. I think partisanship is divisive. It can be divisive. We're experiencing it at the peak of division right now. I mean, it seems like things are more divided than they ever have been, mm-hmm. At least in my lifetime, or now I'm just paying attention more, I guess, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. But when we think about what's actually political and how even that word political or politics has been so corrupted, you know, like, I mean, people talk about church being political, and I don't want to be on a church staff because it's so political, when we're really talking about governance and order and mm-hmm. Things that are actually necessary for things to not become corrupted. Mm-hmm. And so we confuse what is meant to be really good by what is corrupted. And it makes its way even into our formation and the way that we experience God and the way we experience each other.
In its purest sense, though, political is mm-hmm. a term that wasn't meant to have a negative connotation over it.
No.
It has turned into this thing with a negative connotation, because families actually have a political structure. Mm-hmm. So does mm-hmm. so do churches, so do businesses, mm-hmm. and oftentimes it's the disdain that people have mm-hmm. for the word politics.
Yeah.
When they actually, what they mean is partisan bickering. As opposed to actually politics itself.
Mm-hmm. I think it's one of those things where, like, the actual definition of it, which I've always known and understood the definition of it, has played out so differently in my experience of it that when I think about what the word means, I think about my experience than the actual truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which, I think that's true for a ton of us.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, Mike, bring this, if you can, down to ground level for us, because what you said a minute ago was absolutely great, that there's been this division between sort of the personal sphere and the public sphere. Yeah. And if our allegiance is to a kingdom of forgiveness and scandalous generosity and love, we still have to live in this public sphere. So how do we take the principles of our kingdom and apply that to the lives that we have to live here in Nashville in 2020?
Yes. That's such a good question, Grant. To have a party affiliation, to have a opinion on how the world should run and look to what constitutes just and unjust laws, all of that is a normal part of stewardship. And so we're not talking about not having opinions about this. It's primarily how those opinions work themselves out. How do we treat our enemies? Are we demonizing the other? Are we practicing the politics of Christ, right? The politics of Christ included the politics of foot washing and baptism and the Eucharist, the practices of forgiveness and reconciliation, the practice of table fellowship, where people of unequal status would share in a meal that where they would be seen with Jesus, and their status would be elevated. So some of it, when we reduce voting to only what we do during an election, and we reduce politics to only what we do when we're listening to candidates, I think we're missing the breadth of the biblical vision. You're voting every time you buy something. You're voting every time you cut off a driver in response. The powers and the principalities, right? Spiritual warfare isn't this mystical exorcist thing. Spiritual warfare is when the ordinary average people of God in their mundane lives, through the guidance of the Spirit, the community of the Scripture, choose the priorities and values of Jesus and his kingdom over what comes naturally to us. And it's there I begin to exercise the politics of Jesus. In my social relations, Jesus calls me to forsake anger and contempt. And that's a whole, man, that is a lifelong practice. But just even in that, I can believe that the Republican vision for America is more compelling than the Democratic vision, or vice versa. But what the kingdom does is it relativizes my allegiance to realize that no matter who is in power, that the kingdom of God cannot be ushered in by a political party, nor can it be contained in a political party. And so wise stewards of kingdom are simply looking to bless what we can bless and to resist what we can resist wherever we find it. And so to me, voting for a candidate is the smallest part of what it means to be political. How you treat the person in church who wronged you, that's political. That's your voting. Kingdom of light, kingdom of darkness. You're always, and anytime you're making these choices, this is what the politics of the kingdom represent. Now, as it pertains to political parties, fantastic. But if you're unable to critique your own party, you've stumbled into partisanship that is in a very unhealthy and unbiblical way. Because God always, I mean, if you read the prophets, right, the prophets were always concerned with the governance of Israel. They were not condemning the governance of Persia or Assyria. It was the governance of Israel. God's people are to practice politics in kingdom ways, and that's their foremost political concern. How it then works itself out politically in allegiance to a particular party, well, I mean, that becomes part of what we do as we're discipled in the bigger understanding of politics.
That's part one of our roundtable on the politics of religion. Thanks to Pastors Mike Erie, Kevin Dixon, Susie Lind, and Sam Barnhart. And thanks to all of you for listening. Be sure to like us, review us, and recommend the podcast to your friends. And don't forget to join me tomorrow for the second half of our roundtable conversation.
Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed these episodes, please consider helping us continue to produce them with a financial gift. Go to journeytn.com/give to learn more.